When protests for social justice erupted in cities and towns last year, journalists hit the streets to cover them. Many of those same reporters were also simultaneously reporting out the other big stories that impacted our lives this year, like the pandemic and a contentious presidential election. These unprecedented times have forced many journalists to confront their roles in society. And today we share the stories of three of them. Andrea Sahori is a reporter with the Des Moines Register, and in May of 2020, she was covering a protest when she encountered police. Sahori picks up the story from here.
So me and another Des Moines Register reporter, we were running from the tear gas, and we rounded a corner of a Verizon store, and I kind of just looked behind my shoulder to see what was going on, and that's when I saw a police officer charging at me. And the first thing I thought of was, okay, put up your hands, say your press, don't run from police officers, right? So that's what I did. I put up my hands. I said, I'm press, at least, you know, two or three times right before he grabbed me, pepper sprayed me right in the face and said, that's not what I asked. And then proceeded, you know, to arrest me. I went to trial. I was charged with two simple misdemeanors of failure to disperse and interference with official acts. This case went to trial in March, and I was acquitted, and all charges dropped. I didn't think that this would happen to me in Des Moines, Iowa, but it did. And it gave me a new perspective to go through the legal system. I'm Palestinian, so I can relate to people of color in the sense where I have darker skin. I experience certain types of racism, but I've been like privileged to not have bad experiences with police. And, you know, I thought that I understood it, but it's obviously a new type of understanding when you go through that. When people share their stories with me, even the way I interview has changed. Like, I experience a lot of trauma, so when I'm scattered like I am right now, I'm understanding how other people are feeling when they've experienced similar trauma, specifically when it comes to, you know, relationships to police.
My name is David Hernandez, and I am a reporter with the San Diego Union-Tribune, and I cover crime, law enforcement, and other public safety issues. I have been in this beat on and off for about 5 years. And little did I know that I would end up covering a beat that in 2020 would become one of the most important beats to cover. I think certain stories have left out the experiences of community members a little too much. And so often, you know, we rely on facts and data, and that's what journalists are taught to do, and then get opinions from people. But then comes this question of, like, the reality of the situation. And I think that's where people's experiences come in. For example, one thing that comes to mind is police departments often say that use of force is a very small percentage of the context that they are involved in with the public. But that doesn't negate the fact that for a lot of community members, those instances where force is used have a lot of impacts on their lives. I think the more voices that journalists are able to include in their stories, the more well-rounded and fair a story is in the end.
Hi, my name is Kaina Zamaria. I am the visuals editor for Vox.com. And as a visuals editor, I am responsible for accurate and fair visual journalism that runs alongside our stories. And by visual journalism, I mean everything from editorial photography to illustrations to data visualizations to graphics. The audience diversity and the reach and the distance your story can go is considerably different from when I started out. And then it makes us think about the people in the image, and it gives us a much greater responsibility as far as, are we being fair to that person in the image? Are we considering whether or not there's enough context that we are putting around the image to give the audience a fair and accurate representation of what is going on? So it's really strengthened my resolve in hiring local photojournalists to tell stories on the ground. You know, Minneapolis was a great example of how a lot of journalists from other cities helicoptered in, showed the immediate reaction, and then sort of left. And what we lose when we do that sometimes is the nuance of the stories or the understanding of the neighborhoods or people's lives. And I try as much as possible to not just show the what, but I also really push our newsroom to tell us the why. And I'm more vocal in the newsroom in asking our editors and writers to do that if we are going to show images that are a little bit harder to look at, or if we're going to show images of communities that have been underrepresented. I think we have a greater responsibility to really add context to what people are seeing. There is no black and white here. It's a constant conversation. It's never going to end. We're constantly going to have to reevaluate our policies, our ethics, as the, you know, conversations change and evolve, and as audiences grow, and as different perspectives are being asked to be represented.
The through line between all of the journalists we just heard from is their awakening to the need for context in their journalism over the last year. To talk through this a little more, let's bring in Professor Kathleen McElroy. She's the director of the School of Journalism at the University of Texas at Austin. Kathleen, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
As we heard these journalists say, for them, it's not enough anymore to just report what happened. There's this growing understanding that we need to go back to make sense of present news events. How is this effort to offer more context complicated by this moment in our business with business models that have decimated so many newsrooms? How is this need pushed up against that demand, say, for a 24-hour news cycle?
You know, what's interesting was that line that, you know, journalism is the first draft of history. What was rarely said is that that first draft was often wrong or not even done, or information that should have been there was ignored. We can't just give people a set of facts anymore. I think we know that, and we have to tell our students that. This is not about getting two sides of a story or three sides of the story if one side is illegitimate. I think now you cannot cover education. You cannot cover criminal justice. You can't cover all of these institutions without realizing how these institutions were built.
David Hernandez mentioned the shifting balance of facts and statistics and the voices of the community, communities that have gone ignored or unnoticed by the media. Those voices are traditionally seen as opinion. Do you see a shift in the importance we give those voices?
So what's interesting is that, you know, facts are these individual collections of information that can be verified. If a blue car hits a red car, you can't deny that it was a blue car that hit a red car. We can't say which car caused the accident, though. Often when we get information from advocates and the public, it may seem like opinion, but it's their truth. It's what they're experiencing. What was quote unquote objective, or the way things were presented, skewed white patriarchy. So if we get in other voices, those other voices are often considered opinion or not mainstream. Well, who decided what's mainstream?
Well, butting up against what you're saying here is that the truth is the public has also lost confidence in the media. How do we at this point build that trust now that we're having more nuanced conversations about our roles in society?
You know, we can go and listen and tell their stories, but I don't think we're in position to say, trust us. I think there are people who are doing that hard work, people who are taking weeks before they ever produce content to make sure that they're telling the story in a way that does not do more harm. You know, why should someone talk to a journalist if all that happens is my story is told? Journalism as an institution needs to realize that it's just not enough to put a mic in someone's face.
Well, how are you instilling these changing virtues to a new generation of journalists?
One of the things that I think is important is that we give them a sense of this is a public good. I use this Spider-Man reference, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. So what you do matters. And you need to acknowledge where you're coming from. And maybe before, journalists weren't told that.
That was Professor Kathleen McElroy, director of the School of Journalism at the University of Texas at Austin. Thank you so much.
Thank you.